Good morning. Oftentimes when you hear me preaching or teaching, I oftentimes use this image, this phrase of the journey, the journey. Many of our other clergy use it as well. I don't own the term, but use that quite often, the sense of the journey, the spiritual journey. And when we think of a journey, oftentimes we think of a kind of a going from here to there, a movement from where I am to where I'm not yet. It's kind of a from here to there, kind of a linear understanding of the journey. Thomas Merton, who was a spiritual writer in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, was a Trappist monk and had a tremendous influence on my life in terms of spiritual writers, probably the most influence. But he shared some thoughts on this idea of the journey. And he says, rather than understanding the journey as this kind of moving from here to there, this kind of linear movement, he suggests that the journey really is more of an awareness, a kind of a waking up to realize that we are already there, but being present to being there, awaking to that and knowing that. And that the spiritual life is that effort, that journey to realize that in our lives. That we're already there. But to wake up to that. In many ways, what it says to me is this idea of being in the now. Being in the present. We find that so difficult to do in our lives. Well, at least I do. Do you? Being so present to the now. There's even books written today about that. Eckhart Tolle writes a book called The Power of Now. Richard Rohr, who you hear me quote sometimes, talks about the naked now. The suggestion is that we live so much of our lives either in the past or in the future that we're not able to be in the now. We so often find it difficult to be present to what is. You know, we're looking at the past and trying to reflect on the past with perhaps its pains, its struggles, its hurts, the things that went on in our lives that we just haven't been able to deal with. Or we may look to the past with kind of the wonderful things that happened. We live a life of nostalgia. We can begin to live our lives, oh, I wish it was like then. I wish it was back in those times. We can live our lives like that. Or we can live our lives in the future wondering, worrying, afraid, what is the future? Concerned with our ambitions, my successes, what will I be, what will I do, how will it all work out? We can begin to become obsessed with that as well. We need to deal with the past. We need to look to the future. But what it oftentimes does is we're never here. Have a conversation with somebody and they come up and talking to you and you're just not there? They talk to you and you're like, yeah, right. You know, and sometimes you ask them a question, they say, I just told you that. You know, we're so difficult to be in the now. Richard Rohr suggests that prayer is one way of at least trying to get to the now. Another way he suggests, which is very interesting, is suffering. Suffering brings us to the now as well. I think also there are times when we enter into the now. There are moments that just come upon us. Sometimes they just come upon us in kind of a surprising way. Sometimes it's in relationships. Sometimes it's in the midst of intimacy. We're so in the now that the future and the past becomes almost oblivious to us. What the great spiritual writer suggests is trying to grasp that now. I think it's St. Augustine who said many, many years ago that when we can be in the now, we begin to get a taste of what eternity is. Because eternity is being outside of time almost. And when we can be in the now, we truly step out of time in many ways, if you want to use that phrase, and we're so present. I would suggest to you today that some of that idea of being in the now is the experience that Paul had, St. Paul. I'd like to talk a little bit about that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. We had two very long readings this morning. But the reading from the Acts of the Apostles is oftentimes referred to as the conversion of Paul. Paul's coming to an awareness of God's presence in his life. And I would like to suggest that one way of trying to understand that, because there are many ways of trying to understand this story. The story is always told, many drawings of Paul are riding along on his horse. He's knocked off his horse and he has some kind of an experience. And people try to grapple. What did that mean? What is that about? I would suggest one way of understanding is that Paul had a now experience. A little bit about Paul, briefly, hopefully. Paul was someone who was born, it's believed, in Tarsus, which was a capital city. Get back to that in a second. He was born in a capital city. He was Jewish, and he was also a Roman citizen. An interesting combination. It's believed that Paul never really met or encountered Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus who walked the earth, Jesus the carpenter. But he was a devout Jewish follower, and he was aware that there were those who were following Jesus, and as the reading this morning from the Acts of the Apostles hints at, they were called people of the way. I love that phrase. People of the way. You see, this is before, in terms of history, this is before the followers of Jesus became known as kind of Christians and Christianity. At this point in time, those who followed Jesus were mostly Jewish people within the synagogue tradition. They still followed the Jewish traditions, went to the synagogue, followed the Jewish laws, followed the customs, but they were taken with the life and the teachings of Jesus. And they were referred to as people of the way. Now, within Judaism, there were different ways that people kind of dealt with that. Some of those within the Jewish tradition would have said, well, they're people of the way. They follow Jesus. They believe Jesus was raised from the dead. But over here, you know, we're followers of Rabbi so-and-so, or we're followers of Rabbi so-and-so. There was this ability to see diversity within the Jewish tradition. Okay, they want to follow Jesus and people of the way. That's one thing. We're over here. There are other people who were so taken with the disciples and those who followed the way that they began to follow the way, became followers of the way within Judaism. And then there were those within Judaism who felt that these people of the way were in the way. they were not really people who, they were being drawn away from who we are as Jewish people. They were stepping away. They were not following the customs and the laws. And they began to be disturbed about that. And there were probably people in between all those different groups. So at least those three areas. So Paul, it seems, was someone who was very upset about the people of the way. He was a devout Jewish follower. And these people of the way, he had great difficulties with. And our reading today says that he went to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem because he was on his way to Damascus, another city. And what he wanted was permission, authority, that when he went to Damascus and found any of these people of the way, he could arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem and have them dealt with by the Jewish leaders. And he's given authority to do that. And so the story is that Paul is now on his way to reach the people of the way. And on the way, he has this experience. It's hard to understand what it was. But perhaps he had some kind of an experience of God, a now experience. And it says that he was blinded. Just wonderful images. He was blinded, and he was for a few days until the scales fell from his eyes and began to see. And he saw in a new way. He claims that he encountered Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And that experience, that now moment, redefined his past, totally redefined it, and created a whole new future, an adventure that would define his life. And he goes forth, and he says to those people of the way, I too am an apostle. And the apostles get very defensive, because apostles understood themselves as people who walked with Jesus of Nazareth. They're saying to Paul, you never met Jesus of Nazareth. Who are you to say you're an apostle? Paul says, I've met Jesus raised from the dead. My life has been changed. And he went out into the world. And he redefined the people of the way. He redefined what we now know as Christianity. Because these people of the way became more than just a sect within Judaism who followed their Jewish laws and customs and the teachings of this Jesus of Nazareth. But Paul is the one who brought it to the entire world. He went to what was called the Gentile world, the non-Jewish world. In many ways, Paul is the one who made Christianity Catholic, meaning going out into the world. This is a universal experience. This is a message to be proclaimed to the world. And Paul's the one who did that. And interesting about Paul, the way he did this, just an aside, a little tidbit you might find interesting. Dominic Crozian, who's a scripture scholar, observes that he uses the phrase that Paul was a capitalist, meaning that Paul spent most of his time in capitals. Paul would go to a capital city and preach the gospel. It's observed that many of those who spread the gospel, many of those who were preachers of the message, would sort of journey down the road, come to a town or a village, go into the town or village. It's believed Barnabas did this kind of, went in, taught, then got back on the road, went to the next town or village. Paul didn't waste his time doing it. Paul was someone who had a very deliberate attempt to go to capital cities. Most of the cities he went to were capital cities. And it's observed that perhaps Paul's idea was, by going to a capital city and planting the gospel there and creating a Christian community, that a capital city being what a capital city is, people would travel to that capital city and capture and connect with this Christian community. And that Christian community would begin to spread into the areas, you know, phrases we use today, the suburbs and rural areas. But it would spread. Paul had this very deliberate way of spreading the gospel. And it's one of the reasons Paul can say at one point in his ministry, I'm done with the East. Now I'm going to go to the West. It's not like he encountered every town and village, but he had gone to the capital cities. He died before he was able to do more of his ministry. But the ministry of Paul is an incredible one. And Paul is our patron saint. St. Paul's. We are called to live into that. To live into that experience of the now. To encounter God. And to go out into the world. To be Catholic. To spread this message. To welcome all, or all are welcomed. As we walk through this Easter season, I invite you to experience that now in your life, to wake up to those moments, to know God present in your life, to know that God, I've used this phrase, it's so powerful, that God is more present to you than you are to your very self. And part of the waking up is coming to that incredible awareness. And the more we come to that awareness, the more we can be in the now, our whole past can be transformed and healed, and our future is just an exciting adventure as we live our lives into this wondrous message. Let us walk through this Easter in the way of St. Paul, knowing God, encountering God, and going forth into the world, not just the capitals, but throughout the world, and being present to God, and especially present to each other.